When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of the truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I'm going to him who sent me, yet none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of the truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine, and for this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with us. Today is what we celebrate. We know that the Spirit is here. How do we know that the Holy Spirit is here? Because Jesus himself has told us, as we hear these words, that he will send the Spirit or the Advocate to us because he has gone away. He's gone up into heaven. And what he has sent is the Holy Spirit to be in his place. We know the Spirit is here because Jesus told us, because we have seen the works of this Spirit. And yes, we have felt the Spirit in this place. We have felt the Spirit in our lives. And today as we come together, what we celebrate is that day of Pentecost. In essence, the day that the church was created as a body, and the church was put into motion as a movement rather than a place. And what Christ tells us with these words is that the Advocate is being sent, or the Holy Spirit is being sent, speaking to us and speaking for us in the physical absence of Christ here on this earth. Last week, we spent a little bit of time talking about what it meant to carry on, or how we carried on, or how we had new beginnings when it became necessary to replace someone or to pick up a job that somebody had been doing, and to make sure that those good things carried on. And this is really what we're celebrating with the Pentecost. As the church was created, we acknowledge that Christ is no longer with us in a physical sense, and that Christ has joined our Father in heaven, and he sits at the right hand of our Father in heaven. But what has come into our midst is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has returned to be with us. The Holy Spirit has come as that rush of wind, refreshing us, creating new life in us, breathing new life into us. And the Holy Spirit has returned as a burning fire in our hearts. Not a fire to be extinguished, but a fire to be spread. And as we hear Christ in the Gospel of John this morning, today is not about a day of sorrow for missing Christ in our midst. Rather, it's a day of rejoicing in the presence of the Spirit of one who will guide us in all truths. Jesus tells those who listen that he will send the Holy Spirit, that he will send that Spirit as a testimony of the truth of the Father and the Son. And this Spirit represents all the truth. The people are instructed to also go forth and tell the truth in Christ in that fashion of carrying on. For the ministry of Christ on earth is done. The Holy Spirit has returned. But that ministry has to continue on. And that's what we celebrate that day today is how the church was put into motion of carrying on that ministry. The ministry of Christ, the ministry of the Spirit. And how we do that in a fashion that reflects honor and glory to God. Because the physical presence of Christ is no longer here on this earth. But the Spirit is here. That eternal triune of the Father, the Son, altogether as a spirit in our hearts, in our church, in our world, is still here today. That's what we feel. And what our Savior does is He tells about this Spirit, who will show the truth to the world about what sin is, about the presence of sin and what sin has done to this world. He tells of a Spirit who will make clear what it means to be righteous. And He tells of a Spirit that will make clear what it means to judge and who holds that power of judgment. For the world condemned Christ, the ruler of the world, rejected the Father in heaven, and now the Holy Spirit is here to reveal what those truths are so that we all would be guided in that Spirit of truth. What we hear this morning in these words from the Gospel of John is somewhat of a description of what the ministry of the Holy Spirit is about. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, that eternal triune, what this ministry is, what's the charge and the responsibility of the Holy Spirit, the mission of the Holy Spirit here on this earth. And that description would go like this. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to testify about Jesus. If the Spirit fills us, it empowers us to testify about Jesus and His saving grace and His works and what He done, what His life and His death, His resurrection and His ascension, what that means to us. Go forth and tell about Jesus. Testify about Jesus. The ministry of the Spirit is to prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. For sometimes the world has their own opinion about what sin and righteousness and judgment are. People believe that some sin is okay while others are not. Or maybe they don't fully understand the concept of sin and how the wage of sin is death. Death both physically and spiritually, potentially. So they've got their own understanding about sin. And the Holy Spirit, His presence, is to clarify what that sin is. And what it means to walk in a way of righteousness. Or as we call it, as Methodists, seeking that process of sanctification. Being made pure or perfect in love. Being made perfect in Christian love. Doing good. Not doing any harm. Remembering the Word of God at all times. To set the world straight about what it means to walk in a way of righteousness. And then also to clarify judgment in a sense that judgment is not ours to hold, is not ours to carry out, is not ours to have. For we're not to be judges, for judgment is the Lord's. And for those who have chosen to disobey the commands, for those that have chosen to ignore the impact of sin and that failure to live that life seeking Christian perfection and love, then what that judgment may mean to them. The Spirit of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to guide believers in the truth found in the Word of God, the truth that is found through the Holy Spirit as He touches us each day, as He sustains us, as He guides us and reveals His love. The ministry of the Spirit is to glorify Jesus Christ in the times that He walked here on this earth and then when He ascended into heaven, to give credit to a Savior who willingly gave His life that our sins would be forgiven and that we would have that promise of an eternal life. A life without fear, a life without worry, a life without burdens. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to declare the things of Christ to believers and to those who have yet to profess Christ as their Savior. That ministry that was laid upon us at Pentecost is that Spirit, that gift of us taking the Spirit in our hearts and carrying on what has been started. What's been started through Christ Jesus, our Savior, what has been continued through the Holy Spirit, and what we're charged with continuing into the future. We continue this with an advocate or a partner, if you will, the Holy Spirit, who doesn't work separate from us, but works through us to honor and glorify God. So that we may be effective at testifying about Jesus. That we may be effective at giving honor and glory to God and to our Savior. and that we would declare the things in a confident way, declare the things of Christ to both believers and non-believers alike. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit filled the place where they were gathered. They were gathered in a place, they were listening. Quite a few people were there, but when the Holy Spirit came in, it came in as a rush of wind, like a rush of violent winds, the way it's described, so that it filled the place. There was no place where they were gathered, no nook, no cranny, nothing in there that was untouched by that wind. And that wind lifted them up, refreshed them, made them feel whole, made them feel like something was there. So there was no doubt that something had happened. And then also on that day, that wind was divided like tongues of fire, reaching out and touching each person, touching them on the shoulder, touching them on the head, touching them on the back, saying, "This is real, what you're feeling. And I've come to rest on you." And all who were gathered in that place that day, they were filled with the Spirit. And they started hearing each other in a different way. They started understanding each other. Because the Word of God is universal. And it's not something that I can hold in my heart. If it's something that I know in the Word of God, I don't have the privilege of holding it in my heart and not sharing it. Because the Word of God is for all people. For all places. No matter if they look like us, act like us, or don't. The Word of God is for all people. And on the day of Pentecost, people's eyes were open, that they saw that the Word of God, that the saving grace of Christ, that it was available to everyone who would simply accept Christ as their personal Savior. And they simply had to go out and declare these things of Christ. Because as they were touched by the Spirit on that day, they were put into the motion of speaking to other people, of telling other people, declaring the things of Christ, testifying about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit made a difference on that day, and the Holy Spirit still makes a difference today. But what it did on that day is it opened the doors on what we would call closet Christians. Because up until this time, the people who believed were really afraid to say anything. They were really afraid to publicly say anything because, one, they didn't know how they were going to be taken. And maybe they didn't feel real confident about declaring the things of Christ because they didn't know how. But they were also worried about being persecuted. Because if you look back, I mean, Christ was persecuted. They had been put into prisons. They had been rejected. So a lot of things were there that said, I'm better off not saying anything about what I believe. And I ask you, is that true today? Do we still have some of those same thoughts about being afraid to maybe stand up as Christians and say, I'm a Christian, I believe in God, and I believe in Jesus Christ? Or are we a little politically correct over here, I think as some people call it, and say, well, maybe I'm not going to talk about God or Jesus in a group of people because I'm afraid I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings, or I'm going to step on somebody's toes, or somebody's not going to like it because I mentioned Jesus. I think that we're very similar to the way those believers were on the day of Pentecost about some of the things that they felt and some of the things that they experienced, that sometimes we're a little hesitant. Now, when we're around a group of believers, it's easy to talk about Christ. But how easy is it for us to talk about Christ when we're not around a group of believers just like we are? But on that day, these believers that were hesitant to publicly profess their faith, they were put into motion. The Holy Spirit brought people out of hiding into the streets, proclaiming the truth. They needed some convincing to get moving, and that's what they got. They got a fire lit under them on that day. They got a fire lit under them on the day of Pentecost, and they were put into motion. And as we continue to read through the book of Acts, which I would encourage you this week, if you've got time, to read the entire chapter of Acts 2. What we see is the frequency of new believers coming into play because these energized people who had a fire lit under them went out and said, you know, this is what Jesus did in my life. So believer after believer after believer was added. And that's a great testament to that energizing power of God, of God's great power, of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and the love that He has shared with us in the way that we have been commissioned to go forth and tell the Word, and that people would be prepared to hear and understand and to respond to God's influence in their lives. In Acts chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, these words are revealed to us. It says, In the last days, it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Holy Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall have dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Brothers and sisters, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that has been poured out on the ones that we read about today, has also been poured out on you and me. The fire has been lit. The grace and the mercy have been extended by God first. He reached. And that convincing continues every day that the Holy Spirit is the answer and is the truth. The Holy Spirit lives this day in this place. The Holy Spirit lives in your heart. The Holy Spirit lives in this church. And I invite you just for a moment to take in the imagery on the day of Pentecost. Take in that imagery like it was today. Like we're sitting here in this place. I invite you to feel that rush of wind as the Holy Spirit comes over this church. And there's nothing left unturned in this church by the way that the wind fills this church. Feel that burn on your arm as that Spirit touches you, with that burn in your heart as that Holy Spirit fills your heart, energizing you to go forth, to make disciples, to tell what God has done in your life, what the saving grace of Christ means to you. Let our eyes see that red representative of that day in which the church was put into movement. And let us imagine a day when we hear all people of the world speaking one language, the Word of God. That's what Pentecost is about. Today, let us be energized by that fire. Let us be energized by that Spirit. Let us be moved by the Spirit again as we experience the Pentecost today. Brothers and sisters, let us be intentional. Let us be intentional that we feel the fire each step of every day. That we would live in the truth. And that we would proclaim the truth to the honor and the glory of the Father and of the Son. Amen.